What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are back. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Today, I have Bella Miller from Waller Catholic, also Joel Allen from Waller Catholic, our winners of the Girls Wrestler of the Year and also the Girls Coach of the Year. So sit back and listen to some wrestling. So before we get this podcast rolling, I want to ask you guys a question. Are you guys looking to upgrade your mower? Are you needing a new snowblower for the upcoming wrestling season? If you are, go no further than Raider Outdoor Power, located at 2580 Rockdale Road in Key West. The good folks at Raiders will make sure you are set up for the season to have your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course or get that snow off your driveway so you can get to where you're going in a hurry. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast, Raider Outdoor Power. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. What's going on, guys? We are back. I'm here with our 2024 Weighing In with Worm Girls Wrestler of the Year, sponsored by Moskies Barbecue and Cascade, Bella Miller of Waller Catholic. Bella finished her freshman campaign with 32-1 record with 29 pins, and she was the 135-pound state champion at the 2024 Iowa State Tournament. Bella, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time with me today. As you know, you were named our Girls Wrestler of the Year. I mean, your stat line this year was probably one of the more impressive resumes I've seen across the state.
Thank you.
So that's very exciting for Dubuque Wrestling and you especially. You know, let's just start from the beginning. You know, how did you get into wrestling?
My dad told me about this practice one day, and it was here at Waller at the Golden Eagles Club. He got, I forgot who he got from, but he saw and someone showed him it, and so we went to the practice, and I just had fun with it.
Okay, so, and did you see success right away, or did you take a decent amount of bumps on the way?
I got a lot of bumps. I first started wrestling guys only, because girls didn't wrestle, so all my tournaments, I was wrestling guys. I don't think I won until, like, a year after I started. It was a hot minute.
Okay, so, yeah, and, you know, you were just saying that, you know, like, when you started wrestling, wrestling wasn't even an eighth of the popularity with girls wrestling it is now. You know, so was it tough for you a lot of times, you know, being, you know, probably one of the only girls? Because, I mean, I've been around your career pretty much the entire time, and there was many practices you were the only girl in the room. You know, was that difficult for you at first?
At first it was, but then, you know, like, I realized, you know, this is kind of a start for wrestling, and it's going to grow, but it was, sometimes people wouldn't want to partner with me, like, guys, but otherwise, it was, like, so much fun, and I got to meet so many people that I probably wouldn't talk to.
Yeah, and, you know, so, like, when did it start clicking for you? Like, when did it start, like, all starting to, like, come together? Because, I mean, I can't probably put a date on the jump, but, like, all of a sudden, it was, like, for me, watching you compete and watching stuff, like, all of a sudden, it was, hey, that's Bella Miller, then all of a sudden, it became, oh, that's Bella Miller. Like, you know, when do you think that it started happening for you?
I don't really remember, but I think after I started, like, seeing these other wrestlers and seeing, like, what wrestling gets you and people, like, showing me things, I was like, whoa, like, I want to get there. So then I started working more on those stuffs and being more confident in myself and going out there and competing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because you said before, you know, some boys didn't want to wrestle you at first. But then, like, you know, I even think, like, back to, like, your, like, 7th and 8th grade year, especially even the summer going into your freshman year, boys weren't wanting to wrestle you again. You know, I know a couple boys that are going to rename nameless for, you know, their own personal pride. They would just straight up say, no, I'm not going with her, because you jumped so many levels to a point where you were beating the guys in the room. So, and that was pretty impressive. But, you know, obviously, you know, you had your freshman season. You know, let's talk about that. You know, you go to the Donnybrook right away. Take your first loss of your career, or of your high school career. I believe it was against a girl from Apple Valley.
Yeah, Cassandra Gonzalez.
Okay, nationally ranked girl. Yep. And, you know, how did you take that loss? Because I know sometimes the first loss, especially when you have such high goals for yourself, that first loss, obviously, it can sting. It can change the trajectory of how you wrestle. How did you take that?
No, yeah, it definitely stung a bit, but in the end, I was a little bummed out afterwards, of course, but knowing that, like, we're both some of the best in the nation, I got to compete with that and show where I was, you know, and just show that I'll come back and just got to stay on the path. I can't just drift off of it.
And you didn't. Like I said, you had 29 pins this season, out of 32 matches. I mean, that's as dominant as they can come. I don't think there's probably too many other girls in the state that were racking up those kind of wins. So moving forward, you know, you kind of ran through your season. You know, you were a multiple time winner of our takedown of the week, our wrestlers of the week. You know, we could all tell, like, people were starting to talk about you early on, and I think the hype kept growing, and you definitely backed it up. You get to the state tournament, you know, you put some work in on the first couple matches, and then all of a sudden you get a nail biter in the semifinals. You know, yeah. That semifinal match, third period, you know, get a stall call against you.
You got two.
And then all of a sudden you're on bottom. You know, where was your mentality? Just where was your mentality at right there?
I knew she was a really good top rider, and I just knew that I just had to get through this position because she wanted to turn me. And I was like, okay, if I give up two stall calls, I'll be okay because I know I'm better than her on my feet. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I could wrestle.
Yep, and you could go in the overtime. You hit that outside single to get the go-ahead to put yourself in state finals on Saturday night. You know, you've been in countless state finals, national finals from a little girl time. Was the 24 hours that you had in between the semis and the finals, what was that like? Pretty nerve-wracking, or was it just calm? Was it?
No, it was super calm. It was cool because all my coaches, we were all, like, messing around, just talking about, you know, just regular days, like, barely even noticing that we're going to be competing for a state title.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the best things you can do. You can't overthink it and let it become bigger than what it is. You know, and something that people talk about with you, as well as your technique and your toughness and I'll straight up say it, you're one of the meanest girls I've ever seen wrestle. You know, that swagger that you have, that confidence that you have, people saw it, people heard it after you won the state championship. You're calling your shot, winning four state titles. Where does that come from? Where does that confidence come from? Of, you know, as a freshman, you know, you see a lot of people who just go, oh, it's the next match. But you're like, no, I'm winning four. And you said it to the Des Moines Register. You said it to the biggest publication in the state. I wrestle heard it. You know, where does that swagger come from?
I really think it comes from, like, all the support I have, my coaches, my family, and, like, you know, them helping me with, you know, knowing I am, like, I put in a lot of work. And that, like, I deserve it. And, you know, you got to think yourself, too, that you deserve it. And that's where I was in the moment. I was like, yeah, I know I'm going to get this.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, like I said, your swagger is second to none. But the thing is, it's, like, the way you back it up, because, you know, like I said, you just always kind of have always had that confidence in you. And now, like, people are seeing it. And it's not disrespectful. It's not boisterous. It's just confidence of, like, no, this is the training that I put in. Because I know, like, you had traveled to Chicago, you know, once a month, twice a month?
Yeah, usually.
Wrestle Gabby Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're driving up to Madison. You're going down to Big Game. You're you come to Dubuque Wrestling Club. You know, you're putting the time in. So, yeah, I totally understand, like, you developed this because of all the time that you put in. So now that the season's over, you know, you've had some rest time right now, I assume, you know, you're planning for the off season right now.
Right now I have my busiest time of the year coming up, and that has having my nationals, my world team trials, and those are the plans for this summer. But my next tournament coming up is Folk Style Nationals, which will be this weekend. Super excited for that. And then
are you on 35 for that, or
35? Yeah, okay. 16 you.
Okay. Awesome. And then I would assume right after that, you're going to be jumping right now on the freestyle circuit.
Yep.
Goal is probably to qualify for Fargo, win Fargo,
Definitely, yeah. I get to go to Estonia again this year and compete there, and then I'll head right back and go to World Team Trials.
Okay, when's Estonia?
Like 3 days after Folkestone Nationals.
Dang, man, you guys are racking up the hotel points. You know, and obviously, you know, you said before that, you know, your goal is to win a four state titles, but like what are your goals for the remainder of your high school career? Like I don't want to talk about the like after high school, like present from the time now to your senior year. What's your goals for high school?
Definitely just taking steps, just, you know, to go to my end goal through high school, but definitely qualify for Fargo, you know, go and try to win it. That's one of the bigger things. Make world teams, win worlds, you know, all the big stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, so, you know, you put all those things in. Before we go, I have two more questions. You know, the first one, you know, is there anyone that you want to thank this year?
That's so hard. There's so many. I think I'm going to go with my parents, my family, my coaches, like Jal and Wiggy. They've helped a lot. And then big game team, you know, Coach Carew, Coach Ty, everyone. And, you know, one of the coaches I first started with, actually two of them, Darren and Coach Schultz, were my main two, so really appreciate them.
Yeah, those two, I know those two for a fact are super, super proud of you. I know Coach Carew is also super proud of you. Every time I'm around him, I'm usually hyping up the Bella Miller train as well. And so now you're officially a part of the Weighing In with Worm interviews, so I got to ask you the question I ask every interview I have. Fair pair of wrestling shoes you ever had?
Ooh, Nike Inflix.
Good answer. All right, with that, we will be right back with Coach Allen, the 2024 Girls Coach of the Year, after a break from our sponsors. One of my new sponsors, Eric Doughty Concrete. For those who know Eric Doughty, a former Hempstead wrestling great state medalist, has a concrete company here in Dubuque, and he would love to give you guys a quote today. Give him a call at 563-543-594, and he will set you up right. Eric Doughty Concrete. At Lane's Custom Steel, they have been offering custom powder coating solutions to businesses and individuals since 2019. Their skilled team of professionals are dedicated to providing you with high-quality finishes that will last many years. Email Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. And we're back. Now I'm here with 2024 Weighing In with Worm Girls Wrestling Coach of the Year, sponsored by Doughty Concrete Construction, Joel Allen. Joel, my guy. What's going on, man?
Happy to be here. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah. You know, well, first off, congratulations for winning this prestigious award.
I've had so many people come up and congratulate me about this award, Jeremy.
I mean, because you can have District Coach of the Year in 2018, but now you get 2024 Weighing In with Worm Coach of the Year. I mean,
not bad.
It's right up there. You know, this was a great season for you, I think. You know, let's chat about it. Like, you know, you look back at the year, you know, you look back on the year so far, I'd have to think that this is easily probably the most productive year of Waller Girls Wrestling. Wouldn't you agree on that?
Yeah, I certainly think that would be the case. We got a lot of girls starting to, you know, having fun and winning matches, and that makes it pretty fun to coach.
Yeah, so dual record, how'd you guys' dual season go?
6-1.
6-1,
yeah,
okay.
We lost, came down to the last match against Cedar Rapids Jefferson. So we lost by 1 point to them.
But you guys took some wins against West Delaware, Cascade.
Senior. Strong program, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys had a good season going here. And then, you know, when we sat down earlier in the year, you know, we were talking about, you know, going to the Donnybrook. How did you feel the Donnybrook went as a team and an environment for your girls?
I think it was exactly what we needed, and really it far exceeded my expectations with the girls. Originally when we got into it, I got into it because we had some pretty heavy hitters, and I knew that they need to be challenged, especially in the same environment that they were going to compete for a state championship just a couple months later. So that's kind of where it started. And then just the way that the Donnybrook is set up, it's a win for every single girl in the program, because it's not a two matches and you're done. They re-bracket the girls on the second day, and then they get in brackets of girls of similar abilities. So it was a really a nice situation for our ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I think I talked about it pretty much at length during the season, but yeah, like you just said, you know, a girl that gets beat in the first round or goes 0-2 on the first day, it's not like she has to go sit in the stands the next day. She's wrestling girls that went 0-2 as well. Mm-hmm. So,
which is nice. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's a big tournament. I think we had maybe finished 10th or 11th, something like that, out of 45 teams. So I was really happy to see the girls, you know, their hard work start to pay off for them.
Absolutely. So then moving forward with that, then you guys went down to the Maquoketa tournament. I felt like, what, there was 20 teams there?
I think it was 12 teams.
Oh, dang it. 14, okay, my bad.
Something like that.
That's a regal moment.
Still a nice tournament, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at the area schools that were down there. I mean, Hempstead was down there. You guys were down there. Maquoketa, Cascade, Bellevue. You know, so it's a good chance to see all those teams, which, I mean, you guys see a lot of those teams multiple times during the year. But I think for that tournament, you know, you had some girls that kind of stepped up and showed out.
Yeah, and, you know, there were some other teams out there that were a little bit further away. But, yeah, that tournament in particular was fun because the girls really came together as a team. And I think that was probably the first moment, at least that I got to witness. I didn't get to be at the Donnybrook because of Emily's situation. But, you know, I had gotten there. I remember I talked to Coach Wiggy because I had to be with Emily for a little bit. So I was maybe a half hour late for the tournament. And Coach Wiggy was like, you know, we're not doing that well or whatever. And then it's like the girls just like took that on themselves to change that storyline, and they all rallied around each other, and they started beating girls they probably shouldn't have beaten in many situations. And then you know, we got into this back and forth in the team race, but you know, we came out on top, so it was a lot of fun to watch the girls do that.
Yeah, and it's safe to say, you know, Bella, you're in the room here too, like, safe to say that Coach Wiggy has pretty much taken over the job as the bad cop coach of the team, right? No. Like, we're going to establish that right now. Like, you know, apparently, you know, back in the day, Coach Allen liked to refer to me as the bad cop. He was always the good cop. And I have to think that Wiggy is probably the bad cop of this group. You know, he's, you know, very serious. It takes a lot to get him laughing. Doesn't have fun. And if Matt Wigginton's listening to this, he knows I'm kidding with him. But yeah, I can imagine that phone call. You know, he's about, you know, sometimes when he's fired up, he's fired up, and then he's about as energetic sometimes as a wet paper towel if he's in a bad mood. So, and okay, there's my batch session on Wiggy. All right, moving on. You know, you just said the team started coming together this year. Did you think that this was probably like that team that did start to come together more and more as the season progressed, or?
You know, I think the way the season went down, you know, we had a big freshman class of girls, which is the reason why we were successful, obviously led by Bella and Eve. But then, you know, this was the first year, this is year number 5, I think, with the girls program, but the first year that I've had mandatory practices all week, 5 practices. Usually it's been, you got to come to 2, and then it was, you know, optional for the girls. So the ones that wanted to be there would be there, but the others wouldn't. But this year, said you got to be at every single practice. And I didn't know exactly how that was going to go, but the girls really took it and ran with it. And I think our girls that were on the team in previous years, like, I even got thanked, like, man, I think this is why we're starting to win now, kind of thing. So it was kind of fun to see. Plus, we ran some morning practices. No complaints. The girls were there on Monday morning at 6 o'clock, and we ran with it. And yeah, it was fun. I think we had a ton of fun. We got some fun girls on the team, and they got better. They need to continue to get better. But I think there's a really bright future in the Wallet Wrestling Girls program because this group of freshmen, and we got some pretty strong leaders there. You can show them how to do the work. But we got some girls that have potential, which can be a scary word because that means they haven't done anything yet. But if they put in some time in the off season, it could be a heck of a run for the next 3 years.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, when we first started this thing here, you know, the state tournament was everyone shows up and competes, and now you guys are in these super regionals. I'm at the point after watching super regionals this year, I personally think it's like this needs to be broken down a little bit more. Well, but like, what says you? Like, do you think it's a good thing? It should be tweaked, or?
I mean, it's tough, man. To qualify for state right now, it's tough. And, you know, we have a returning state qualifier, Ava, who didn't punch her ticket this year, just to kind of speak to the validity of that statement and how hard it can be. I will tell you that I'm on the advisory committee for the state of Iowa, and we're meeting on March 20th. And the first line item on that agenda is multiple classes. So it kind of seems like that's where we're going to probably go next year. We had, you know, over 3,000 girls in the state of Iowa competing in the sport of wrestling. And if you look at our numbers compared to the way that other sports have done and what they've done and kind of the what they need to split into two classes, like we've arrived for that. So I think we're there. It'll be interesting to see how that division kind of takes place, because you have, you know, you have some super teams, you know, out in Des Moines, like Raccoon
River,
right? There's, I think that makes up over 10,000 students, you know, so they're going to use those BD numbers, the beds numbers, to figure out, you know, where that division line is. I've heard top 48 schools will be making up the big class, and then everybody else in the bottom. But I'll tell you what, they, if you just look at the state results, man, the little schools, I think, is really what's leading the charge right now. You know, obviously Waverly goes down for the first time in 5 years. They didn't win the state tournament, but I think they fell back as far as fourth or fifth, maybe. I think they missed a trophy, if I'm not mistaken. But then you've just got, you know, East Buck, Decorah, all these small schools that are just bringing the heat and are stinking tough. So, you know, I would imagine we'll probably fall in the smaller class, but it could be just as tough.
Of course, yeah.
But I did tell my freshmen, my girls that qualified this year, that I thought this might be the most difficult state tournament of their season, right? Because you had, or excuse me, of their careers, because you have all the classes piled up together. Whereas, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit more watered down, or it's going to at least take a couple of years to get to the level that we just saw.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so kind of going back on this, you know, you've been kind of at the inception of women's wrestling in the state. Like you said, you're on the board, the advisory board. What have you noticed, like, this year more than the other years that's kind of opened your eyes more in women's wrestling in Iowa?
Well, I think, you know, this is our fifth year, so I've got you know, I've got a little bit of data to back up where we're at, but it just, I wouldn't even say this year to last year, but if you just take from year one to where we're at, there's just been this exponential growth. Every single year, the girls get stronger physically, they get better technically, right? And it just gets harder to win in our sport, which is really exciting. It's a lot of fun to watch the girls just kind of take it and run with it. You know, coming in, I know there's like this new class of freshmen, really, you know, and we've got two of those leaders at a state level with Bella and Eve that are kind of leading the charge. And with that said, like I kind of went in thinking, you know, this middle school group of girls, for a lot of them, they've been wrestling longer than, you know, some of our current seniors. So it was going to be like this big change. But then, you know, I kind of got introduced. I think we had, there were two freshman state champions out of the, you know, out of the 14, right? So it's still an upperclassman game right now, but certainly the technical level of the girls are getting better, and they're getting better every single year.
Well, I'm personally noticing, like, in the DWC room and just kind of watching throughout the state, it's like a couple years ago, girls were just saying they were going out for wrestling. You know, they weren't identifying as wrestlers. And I feel like now you're starting to see more girls, you know, not to the, obviously, the level of Bella, but like the mentality of like, no, I'm a wrestler. Like I identify as a wrestler. And I think that changes a lot of people, like where it's like, oh, I go out for wrestling, but then it's like, no, I'm a wrestler. You start thinking differently. You start, you know, you start watching how people's stances are. You start mimicking them. You start doing all these things by establishing an identity as that athlete. You know, no longer is it, I'm a runner who happens to wrestle. A lot more girls are starting to be, I'm a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. And that's exciting because, you know, you and I can both speak, and most people listening to this probably, that, you know, wrestling changes lives. Mm-hmm. And boy, girl, it doesn't matter. Tall, short, bigger or smaller. It just has that power to really kind of shape and mold people into good people. So it's really exciting to see that people are starting to identify with the sport. And then in addition to that, just you can kind of, when that transformation happens, right? And, mm-hmm. and I think we're close in our program with getting more girls that really kind of identify as a wrestler rather than saying I go out for wrestling. We're not quite there yet. Hopefully a good off season can kind of get us there.
For sure. All right, man. I thank you so much for joining me. This has been the 2024 Weighing In with Worm Girls Wrestling Coach of the Year, Joel Allen. We'll be back to talk about the national tournament coming up for D1 and D3s here after the break. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. All right, thank you so much to our sponsors again. Can't thank them enough. Great interviews with Bella and Joel. Like I said before, during the interview even, I've been talking about it all year. You know, if you don't have the opportunity yet to buy the Bella Miller stock, get it while you still can, because she is different. She is probably closest thing to the total package as far as a wrestler in the area, and especially at such a young age. She's meaner than all get out. She's got great technique. She's fast. She works her butt off. I think, you know, the way that she trains and the way that she is goal-oriented, I think that she could, you know, live up to all the hype that, you know, she's building on herself. And that's phenomenal. Obviously, Coach Allen, that's my dude. You know, I think, you know, for having two state medalists that are freshmen, not to mention, you know, going 6-1 on the year for duels, tournament title, you know, he was a pretty good candidate for Coach of the Year. But that's not to say, you know, Brock Haas wasn't right up there too. You know, his slow roast mentality that he had this year, like he was telling me at the beginning of the season, you know, it's a slow roast. It's not going to be a sear. It's going to be a slow roast. This is how our team's going to be, and it showed. You know, they took their lumps at the beginning of the season, but by the end of the season, four state qualifiers, they won the Sumner Fredericksburg tournament. So, you know, he was right up there for that competition too. I think with Joel, just, you know, the amount, the record, and just the overall progression of his team over the last couple of years merited him that award. But moving on, this past weekend, well, 2 weekends ago, we had the D3 regional tournament where down in Cedar Rapids, where Loris and UD competed. For those that don't know, that tournament is a gosh darn grindhouse. 18 teams, and I believe six of them are in the top 15, and only top three wrestlers go per weight class. I mean, there was a weight class where our Greco World Team member, returning All-American, didn't make it from UD. You know, you had a returning national finalist not make it in a few different weights. So, obviously, it was definitely a grindhouse down there. Loris came away with three national qualifiers in sophomores Eric Kincaid and Dustin Boren, and then senior Zeb Godina. Now, Zeb does have an extra year left due to the COVID rule, so he'll probably be back next year. But Kincaid won the regional tournament first, beats Wartburg's 149-pounder, looked really good. I think Kincaid is a dark horse of the national tournament. He's starting to come into his own. He's wrestling at a pace right now that's scary. He's up there. Like, he's going to be one of those guys, I think, that really is going to, he's going to shock someone at the NCAA tournament this year. So just be on the lookout for him. Dustin Boren, kind of same boat, sophomore, first year in the starting lineup. He took third. He's one of these guys, man, like, you know, you can take all the shots you want on, but that's where the fun begins for him. He lives in a front headlock, likes to go in danger, likes to wrestle a very scramble pace, almost methodical, like almost like a Ben Askren type, where, you know, he can take his time in the roles because he feels comfortable in those positions. So, you know, he's one of those guys that can really, I think he can do something as well. He's been ranked as high as fourth this season as well. But 174 pounds, man, Zeb Godina, Loris College, makes the finals, wrestling Zane Mulder out of Wartburg. Mulder, returning national champ, NCAA finalist from 2 years ago as well. this rivalry, if you will, started like last year. Mulder, you know, I think majored Zeb before the 3-point takedown. It was, you know, it was a takedown fest. And then they wrestled at Concordia, or at Luther. Gap gets closed a little bit. He still loses by like 6. In the duel, Zeb loses to him 4-2. And then last Friday, wrestling Mulder in the finals, you know, tied up 1-1 here, 30 seconds left. He gets to go ahead, takedown, rides out Mulder for the last 10 seconds, bumps off, return national champ in the regional finals. And Zeb, you know, is feeling himself right now. I think he's only got 2 losses on the year, in one of them's to Mulder. So he's one of those guys, I think, that he could, if he shows up dialed in the way he was down at regionals, it could be national title city for him. So that starts on Thursday, or on Friday, in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I believe that starts at noon. You can watch that on Flow Wrestling. That goes into Friday. Moving on to the, oh, and also Dubuque area, Joe Pins out of Wartburg. Great tournament. Took second behind Ryan Preason out of North Central. Preason's a tough dude. He's been around for a couple years now. And Joey, you know, has been looking great all year. You know, and him and Preason's match was a good match. Joey just came up a little short, but I still think he goes in probably as a 2-4 seed. And I think he's one of those guys that could probably shake some things up, make things interesting going into the national tournament, national finals. So look out for him. If I haven't talked about it already, this past year, Joey broke the Tech Fall record at Wartburg. So I started dubbing the name Joey Tech Falls, said Joey Pins. I've been calling him that when I see him, and now he's just Joey Tech Falls. It's no longer Joey Pins. Tim O'Neill started using that line in the TH. Did not give me any credit, but hey, it is what it is. He sent me a message. We're cool. But no, so there's your D3 coverage of the national tournament coming into this weekend. Like I said, it's in La Crosse. You can follow on Flow Wrestling. So go ahead and do that. Also, then moving on to the D1 Nationals, which is coming up next weekend. The conference tournaments were this weekend. I watched a lot of wrestling this weekend. I probably got about 20 hours, and there were some guys in around the neighborhood that got way more time watching wrestling than I did. You know, area-wise, Boone McDermott made the Pac-12 finals. Had a really sick throw in the semifinals to get himself there. He punches his ticket to the national tournament. So that'll be his second trip to the national tournament. This year it'll be for Oregon State. And then, you know, I watched the Big Ten finals last night. Man, Penn State's good. Penn State's really freaking good. If you guys have been living under a rock for the last couple years, you guys know that Penn State's really freaking good, and they just seem to be getting better. I mean, they're 65-pounder Mitchell Messenbrink is down 9-2 going to the third period and ends up coming back winning 13-11, which, unreal. Like, just an unreal comeback. I did have a lot of people, like friends of mine that are wrestling fans, but obviously, like, not to toot my own horn or anything, but like, don't watch it as much as I do. I'd call them casual fans, if you will. You know, they message me and they're like, dude, what's going on here with Iowa? You know, they're taking 4th, all that stuff. When you look at it though, when you look at each weight class and you look at everything that was going on, it was like, man, they wrestled well. Like, you know, they wrestled up to, you know, they wrestled to their seeds. Some guys wrestled above their seeds. You know, Real Woods, one of those scenarios, you know, Jesse Mendez has always been a tough dude. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he belongs in that conversation as well as Real Woods and Bo Bartlett. You know, those three guys are going to duke it out at the national tournament. And you would have to think that, I mean, it's going to be a dogfight either way for them. You know, that's just Big Ten wrestling right now. And just the level of D1 college wrestling right now is like, I understand people are like, well, this is Iowa wrestling. This is Iowa. And it's like, yeah, but games kind of changed a little bit. You know, there's a team in Pennsylvania, Penn State, who have world-level guys on their team. They have alpha male wrestlers on their team that, you know, they're just spreading the gap. And, you know, it, now it's pretty much Penn State versus the entire field. So just be patient. You know, every year I always say Iowa fans, they, it kind of goes in this flow, if you will. You know, start off in September, you know, October when wrestling starts coming around. Man, we got a team. We're looking really good. We got, you know, I think we got a team that can win the national title. Then by about January, it's, you know, we suck. We do, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, March, there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, well, they're all beat up, blah, 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 blah. And then around April, they're like, hey, we got a good team coming back next year. And the whole cycle starts over. At least that's what I noticed. But, I've been an Iowa fan long enough that I remember the Zaleski era where, you know, duels were, you know, not every duel was a guaranteed win. You know, you go into Oklahoma State, you go into Michigan, those duels weren't guaranteed wins. Those weren't blowout wins. Those were close duels and a lot of times losses. So you take it for what it's worth and you just move forward. But then I started watching the Big 12s. And, man, if you guys get a chance to hop on YouTube and, you know, the Casey Swiderski, or not the Casey Swiderski, the Chittum Ryder Downey match at 57. Absolute great match. I mean, for just the level of scrambling ability that those guys have and their ability to just hold positions, I mean, it was worth the price of admission, man. They were so good. And the same with the 165-pound match with Keegan O'Toole and David Carr. You know, those guys have had a rivalry now, and Keegan O'Toole has tied up. They're 2-2 right now, head-to-head. And, you know, so going to the national tournament, you know, that could be a big, big match there. So get a chance, hop on YouTube, watch those matches. If you're a big wrestling fan, just take a glimpse of those and just be excited for the wrestling that's going to be happening here in the next 7 to 10 days. Before I go, though, I want to thank you guys so much for being patient with me over the last couple weeks. You know, I went on Instagram and made a post just basically, you know, apologizing for taking 2 weeks off, but I just kind of got into a little bit of a rut in the aspects of the podcast where I was trying to figure out what I could do and what I could offer. And I just kind of felt like I needed a little bit of a break just to kind of refresh my head, with, you know, the next couple episodes. I said I definitely wanted to get these Coach of the Year awards done. So I want to get those hopefully done all here, in the next couple days with, Brock Morris and Brett Haas, for the wrestlers and the Coach of the Year. So I'll get those done. And then, you know, just kind of looking at the schedule, I think once I'm done with those, I'll probably do a state freestyle recap. You know, I might pop in occasionally with, you know, a bonus episode of, you know, if something big happens, or like, you know, I know, we're going to be hosting, the Dubuque Wrestling Club is going to be hosting a freestyle tournament, here in April. So I want to probably sit down with Will Kelly, you know, maybe hype that up a little bit. And, you know, and then I'll probably just wait till Fargo, talk about the wrestlers out there, and then I'll talk about, you know, and then I'll start doing interviews again. But, you know, I look at this podcast like a TV show. You know, you have seasons, and every season, you know, you get a break. And I appreciate you guys. I know you guys are, you know, hopefully a couple months off isn't going to, you know, steer you guys away. I'm working on some good interviews, I think, for this upcoming fall before I get into the coaches. I've reached out to a couple, but I have a list of people that I really want to cover, get some good interviews with them, and, you know, then we'll kind of just go and repeat again. So thank you guys so much. If you haven't started wrestling freestyle yet, if you're a high school wrestler and you haven't started going to freestyle practice yet, can I ask why? You know, you've had a couple weeks off. Why haven't you tried getting better yet? You know, this is the opportunity right now to go in and get some mat time in. You know, I understand if you're playing other sports, but even get yourself on a mat one day a week. One day a week with the intent of getting better. Not just going in there and just, you know, playing patty cake. Just go out there, go into practice, and get a good workout in once a week. It'll step your game up. Even if that's all you can do, do that. Again, Dubuque Wrestling Club, We run three practices a week. Monday nights are Greco. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 o'clock to 6:15, we have our girls and girls practice, which is from grades six through seniors. And then our youth boys that are there too, that's ages fourth grade up to sixth grade. Those guys go from 5 to 6:15 on Tuesday and Thursday. And then high school boys practice starts at 6:30 to 7:45 on Tuesdays and Thursdays for freestyle. It's $100 flat rate, guys, like $100, and you get up to three practices a week from now until June. And I mean, you can't beat those prices. And you know, the rooms that we've had the last couple weeks, our girls practices are averaging about 16 to 20, give or take, on a night of high level girls that can wrestle. And there's girls in there that just went off for wrestling this year and they just want to keep wrestling, getting better. So this sport's for everyone. So if you're wrestling, you know, you wrestled last year, first time, and you think, oh, hey, I need to get some more mat time, come in. Take advantage of it. Our high school boys practices, we've had about 20, 25 guys in the room from all different schools. And the goal is just like what Randy Stewart said in the podcast when I interviewed him, was to get better. So I hope you guys take advantage of that. If you guys have any questions about Dubuque Wrestling Club, you can message me or message the Dubuque Wrestling Club Instagram, which is at DWC Dubuque Wrestling Club. So get in there, get better, help. Let's all help each other get better here, okay? So with that, I want to thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it. You guys have a great couple weeks of watching wrestling. Otherwise, this is Worm. I got my one. I'm out. Before we go, I just want to give one last shout out to Raider Outdoor Power, Mosky's Barbecue, Eric Doughty Concrete, Lane's Custom Steel, Gravel Grading and Excavating, Cascade Athletic Club, Big Game Wrestling Club, Dubuque Wrestling Club, Leonard Funeral Home, Kramer Pest Control, Jared Levy at Exit Realty, and Spine and Sport Chiropractic Center. I'm so thankful for you guys' sponsorships. I hope you guys go out and use their business, support their business any way you guys can. Give them follows on social media. Use their business. It's truly appreciated. Thanks again for listening. Follow us at Worms Weigh-In on Instagram, or follow us at Dubuque Area Sports Podcast on Facebook.